With 1 week behind us, we can think about last Monday's earthquake with some perspective now. The shock of it all has sunk in, and a lot of people in the disaster area are entering not a permanent situation, but what may prove to be a prolonged temporary one. Last Thursday, I was in a small rural village, Red Flag. The farmhouses had all come down. People were sleeping the nights under tarps. A pig farmer named Mao Yunchang was surrounded by his neighbors, and he and the rest told us what they needed: water, food, medicine, tents. They had been reduced to one meal a day, a container of instant noodles boiled with creek water that they purified with pills. Yesterday, we went back. It was a sunny day, hot and humid, high in the mid-80s. We brought along some water and instant noodles, and we found Mao Yunchang, his family and neighbors, and he sounded a lot more positive about his situation.
The government is sent us water, food, and tents.
So you don't have to boil the creek water anymore.
He says they still need better tents, and his hogs are a problem. They have no feed and no good shelter from the sun. When we gave him the water and the food, Mao was grateful to a fault. Perhaps, he said, we should give it to people more in need. It was so sunny yesterday that this time we could see the mountain that rises just a few miles from Red Flag Village. Along the green slopes, there are huge bald spots where rock, soil, and forest came loose. We went to a village close to the foot of the mountain called Beishi in Hanwang Township. One can only imagine how picturesque this place was just a week ago. A tree-lined road flanked by rice paddies, clear mountain water streams down through the roadside gutters. There's some livestock penned behind the houses, and the mountain stands majestically straight ahead. Now, families are living under those ubiquitous tarps. One man who had come here to find his relatives said there used to be a road through a mountain pass a mile or so in the distance. Both slopes of the mountain crashed down on it in the quake, and it is now impassable. Four people died here, we're told. A man named Tang San Pei said during the quake, when the mountain shook loose so much earth, it was as if bombs were falling on the mountainside, one after another. And then, something that the people all wanted to show us, a famous temple, a local tourist attraction. There was some confusion as to just how old it is, or was.
There's a rectangular stone on the ground here, and it used to sit in front of the temple, and the legend carved into it said how old the temple was and whose reign it was built. And the people here are, they've tried to pour some water over it to wash it clean enough so that they can read the inscription to us and tell us exactly what year the temple was built. Obviously, the temple was very important.
It turns out it's a Qing Dynasty Taoist temple. It's from the 18th century. There are statues inside, brightly painted, seated serenely. Their once ornate surrounding structure is now a pile of bricks and fallen timbers. This is a time for harvesting rice and canola in these villages. So many of these people are loath to leave home, even if they have to camp out along the road. But many others have no choice. The places they came from were obliterated in the quake. Many will go to tent cities for evacuees, like this one, in a park in the city of Mianzhu. There are rows and rows of blue tents marked disaster relief only. The tents are about 12 feet by 8 feet. A PA system broadcasts radio programs interrupted occasionally to page people. There is a mess hall, there's medical staff here, but above all there are the tents lined up in rows, and the paths between the rows aren't much more than a yard wide. According to the government, 100,000 tents have been sent to the disaster area. The number of people estimated by the government to be at least temporarily relocated, 4.8 million. One woman told us in her tent the first night there were 20 people. As we were speaking with this group, a 20-year-old man, a college English major from Yanyang University, who uses the name Frank, came up to us and took us to see his family's tent.
This is my mother, Mrs. Shea, and that girl is my classmate. That's my mother's sister, old sister, you know?
Uh-huh, your mother's sister would be your aunt, yes.
And my, how to say, my mother's sister's husband.
That's your uncle, sister. He's your uncle.
Then they are my neighbors, you know?
Your neighbors, yes, your neighbors. It was hot, humid, and crowded inside that blue tent. By late October, it will likely be chilly and damp in Mianzhu. No one knows how long people will live in these tents. Typically, when I've asked people all week, can this be rebuilt, or will you move back to your home, or what happens next? Typically, I get the same answer. That all depends, people say. It all depends on what the government decides.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.